Welcome to Living on Purpose. My name is Lynn. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to be here and to be presenting this show to you today. You'll be hearing profiles of musicians on this show today, and one of them is Jeff Healy, who was recently in Victoria. Jeff is amazing on trumpet, and at the concert in Victoria last Friday night, he and his band, the Jazz Wizards, were having way too much fun on the stage, laughing and joking and segueing from one song into the next. It was great fun.
No, all sorry. Right, that's okay.
You are the sciatic nerve of Segway. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh.
That means
that's
that sometimes
good.
You're a pain in the ass.
That's right. That is quite true. I've been called worse.
The next part of this introduction I recorded walking in the neighborhood here last night. I needed a break from sitting down while I was recording, so I went for a little bit of a walk, and that will be the next segment you hear. I have been mostly familiar with his name associated with some wild guitar and some impassioned music. About 6 years ago, I drove from Vancouver Island to Edmonton. That was one of the CDs I took along, was See the Light. I listened to that CD over and over, some songs in particular. One specifically that really was motivating me and making me feel empowered and committed to following through on my life and getting to wherever I was going. And I'm still on my way there, and every step is worth it. Now I know that Jeff is actually very impassioned about jazz and has been for many years and was quite curious to see what he was up to. Well, now I know a bit more, and I'll be sharing that with you, exposé of Jeff Healy and what he's been up to and what he is doing. Here we go into Living on Purpose. Thanks for listening. Associate producer of Living on Purpose, Chris Thompson, has just come in to share a memory with us.
Hey, Lynn, thanks for that intro. Yes, I do have a memory to share with you, and it is about Jeff Healy and the first time I ever saw the boy, and he was probably pretty much a boy at the time. It was about 20 years ago. And I was at a business lunch in Toronto at the Bamboo Club. The place was packed, all sorts of people having business lunches. This guy got up on stage. He was going to be playing later that night. He got up on stage just to do a sound check. Now, normally when that happens, it's just completely annoying. And so everybody kind of gritted their teeth, you know, and when they saw the guy getting up and the sound guy at the board. And then he started playing, and the place went silent. Everybody put down their utensils, their faces just turned to the stage to watch this guy play. It was absolutely amazing. And this was a sound check, and it is the only sound check I've ever witnessed where the guy gets an actual standing ovation. Yeah, it was Jeff Healy, and it was just as he was on the cusp of becoming a well-known name around Toronto. I've got to say, it was I felt it at the time, and I still feel now that it was just a complete honor to be there. I mean, it was such a candid moment and such a great lot of fun, and I'm so happy that he's gone on to the success that he has. And I know that his true passion lies in the jazz and blues field, but shortly thereafter that I saw him at the Bamboo Club, he had a song come out that I absolutely love, and I don't know, he might hate it by now because it's so long ago and he's in a different phase of the records that he produces now. I must say that Angel Eyes just touches my heart every time I hear it. It's one of those songs that I never get tired of hearing. So, Jeff, if you are listening, thank you very much for Angel Eyes. I love it.
Girl, you're looking fine tonight, and every guy has got you in his sight. What you're doing with a clown like me? Surely what a life's little mystery.
Hi, Lynn. Billy from the Sunshine Coast. And I just wanted to share how Jeff Healey was important to me. When I was a kid growing up in Toronto, we used to go to this blues bar downtown. I believe it's Grossman's. And they were great because they didn't seem too concerned about how old you were. So I think I was 15 when I first saw him perform. And it changed my life. I was into ska and whatnot at that point, and after that I've been a blues freak ever since. One of my happiest memories was one time I was walking down Yonge Street in Toronto, and there was Jeff. He was walking the other way with his famous smile on his face, and he didn't have a cane or anything, and I thought, wow, maybe I'll turn around and see if he's interested in walking the other way. Which he was, and we walked for probably 15 minutes just talking about music and the blues, and I remember he kind of gave me his take on the blues and the history of the blues. It's great now to see the direction he's taking with the old jazz. Yeah, I just wish him the best. Favorite song would have to be Angel Eyes, very beautiful. Yeah, I love them all, but Angel Eyes is my favorite.
All your life, but this girl you see is leaving here with me tonight.
Life has been a constant evolution, as trite as that sounds. Everything has happened for a reason. I made things happen for myself in so many ways. I wanted to play downtown in Toronto, a kid from Etobicoke, and I did. And I figured out ways to get down and play in some of the clubs when I was 16, 17, 18. Eventually that wound up, you know, I met people who had other further ideas of what to do, and you know, I wound up at a little place, but a renowned place called Albert's Hall, over the Brunswick House when I was 19, talking with Albert Collins, who was a blues guitarist, and Albert suggesting I come down the end of his week there because Stevie Vaughan was coming in to sit in an article in the paper after that happened, and then people downtown started to hire me for things, and, you know, it goes on and on from there. But it was never any sort of overnight thing. I mean, it was always... Stuff happened fast. Stuff always happens fast for me. I have no patience. But it's always an evolution. It's always a change. It's not an explosion thing. I learned not to regret. I maybe harbor some resentment for a lot of things. What's done is done. So I don't associate with, you know, certain people that I resent. And it's best left peacefully that way. I've naturally evolved to this point, I suppose. Being interested in music and performing and interested in musicians and performers, then here I am at a point where I have the best of all worlds. I have some great musicians around me. I'm able to play the type of music that I'd like to play. We have some musically serious parts in the show, and we have some parts that are a little outlandish. I was dabbling with whatever I could get my hands on from the earliest age that I can remember, around two or so, with my grandparents' piano and various other people's guitars and harmonicas and little toy whistles and stuff and whatever I could make some music on. And then I got a guitar at three and didn't really make too much sense out of that really for a couple of years. It was just a little toy that I had. And it's just been an ongoing thing, but I've never known anything else. To play music, to listen to music, to study music, and all of the facets of it. Doing to make a comfortable living at it and to be appreciated for doing it. What more can you ask for? Don't rehearse at all, as you discovered. Some time caring about what people around me cared about what people thought of me, if that makes any sense. I didn't really care as long as I was good to people and so forth and was honest. This is Jeff Healy, and you are in the middle of Living on Purpose with Lynn Thompson.
Save your sorrow for tomorrow. Smile a while today.
Have you been in broadcasting?
I've been in broadcasting. I'm going into my third year, actually.
I see. And what got you interested in that?
Ever since I was young, I've always pretended to be a DJ.
How young are we talking?
Well, 10, 11, you know, when I first started tuning into radio.
I see.
I would go along in the car and go with the vibration of the door, you know, with the car, and I'd do the weather, and then I'd sing a song. And
I see.
And then I'd come on as the host. And but I was very shy, so it took a long time to get here.
All right. Probably the same as what you described for yourself, I've always been interested at. I used to pretend I ran my own radio station. There was community radio, but we didn't have too much in Toronto. I mean, I never paid much attention to FM radio until I was about 9. I thought it came out of one little studio, you know, which it sort of did. In those days, of course, it was nowhere near as corporate and bureaucratic as it is now. I was fortunate to start at CBC when they were still broadcasting out of the Jarvis Street studios. Actually, I started there when I was 14, and I used to do a bi-weekly spot on a show called Fresh Air and bring in a record or two to play and talk about it and learn so much from the people that hosted that show. Bill McNeil and Cy Strange, who were wonderful, wonderful guys to start with, and they inadvertently taught me so much about how to speak. In actual fact, when I listen to myself, I can hear sort of the amalgam of the two of them in how I do things. It was great training at that point. They were a couple of the last surviving CBC-type broadcasters who were still nonchalant. They were personalities, but they were personalities on the CBC, which meant that they had to have a great amount of decorum, but still be people. And so it was very good training. I looked at radio as, you know, what we think of as radio with DJs, and they yell and they make all sorts of noises and stuff. And my producer told me at one point, we used to pre-tape these little spots, and when I was probably 15, he said, so let's do that, you know, this whole thing over, the whole announcement thing, because he said, you just sound too much like that. Well, I see by the clock on the wall that it's, you know, such a... So they didn't want that. They wanted more natural personalities, and that taught me a lot. So I always keep that in mind, never to be the I see by the clock on the wall type, or if I do, it's very tongue-in-cheek. Jazz, God, since I was in my mid-teens, if not before, and certainly listening to it and collecting it all my life. The time was right to do it when I started to take this band or a version of this band out on the road. Nothing more or less than that. As I say, I got to sit in with a lot of musicians around Toronto doing this sort of thing, so certainly a fair amount of people in Toronto knew of the interest and the fact that I could do it.
That hums, live today, tomorrow never comes, and if you only cheer up, skies will clear up and clouds will pass away, yes they will. Save your sorrow for tomorrow, smile a while today, yeah.
I've known Colin Bray, the bassist, for 22, 23 years, and Reed Kaiser, God, for at least a dozen years or more, on piano. And they came out of a band that I actually worked with quite a lot, called the Hot Five Jazz Makers in Toronto. And so it's just sort of built from there. I guess the one in the group I've known for the least amount of time is the violinist, Drew Jarecka. Yeah, only about 3 years. Business of having a particular instrumentation. It's a, you know, a matter of good musicians. Now, at our fullest, we have a clarinet player and a vocalist who usually come along with us, but they were both tied up with things this week. And, I mean, we can do it actually with six of us if we have to, and have seven, eight, nine, whatever. From there, it's just, it's kind of icing on the cake.
Work is plain to anyone that harms. Live today, cause tomorrow never comes. And if you only cheer up, skies will clear up, and you'll find that clouds will pass away. If you just save your sorrow for tomorrow and smile a while today.
Hazelton is a native of Calgary originally, who moved to Toronto 5-6 years ago. I produced a CD of hers 2 or 3 years ago. She also does a track on this latest live CD as well. Yeah, because as I say, she's usually part of the live show. And is a great entertainer, not just a good vocalist, she's a fabulous entertainer.
Sarah Hazelton.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. She's mine, all mine, yeah.
Is that a hickey on your neck, Drew?
Yeah, it's from the violin.
I didn't.
Oh,
your violin loves you.
Violinists are branded. We all have that. If you practice, you have it.
That's right, how we can tell if Drew's practicing.
Thank you.
2001. Well, we're in the process of actually looking into a couple of new locations for the club, which I've wanted to do since we opened it. It's a nice space for what it is, but it was a good training ground for what I was trying to do with the club. Bathurst and Queen is not sort of one of the most preferential prime areas. The club is essentially in a basement. The place that we're looking at is ideal. It's got a patio and various things like that. So it'll work out much better as a public place, a place to attract more street traffic. I'm very busy in so many ways, but not just, you know, I'm not your sort of traveling musician. I mean, I have so many things closer to home. I do a radio show for Jazz FM on early jazz, which I do every week, and it's always just a ton of stuff going on.
No, you know it doesn't matter, cause I still love her the same. But her dad has lots of money, it'll all be hers in time. All the little dough, a big load of dough, will be mine, all mine.
Enjoyed tonight a great deal, so that'll be a pleasant performing memory until I do another one that I enjoy, which I hope is tomorrow night. We're in Winfield, it's outside of Kelowna. We're actually there for two nights, Saturday and Sunday, and then back to Toronto, continuing on, which is, I get in time on Monday to go and do my show Monday night. Every day there's something going on. Well, I used to do the show for CBC throughout the 1990s, and that certainly got a lot. I used to get tons of mail from people in BC, because it's a place where people listen to CBC. But I have been doing the show now for 15 months or something like that for Jazz FM. One is able to get that online by punching up jazz.fm, and as you scroll through all the options with their website, one of them is listen to the live on-air broadcasting. You tap in and you get the immediate feed of what's going on the air. Mondays from 6 until 8 BC time out here is when the show is on. Western Europe, though. I mean, the closest to Eastern would have been, I think I did something, one or two things in Hungary or something like that. Yeah, I used to make at least one or two trips a year, certainly in the summertime, between 1988 and 2001, I guess. Everybody has their ups and downs, yeah, and so forth, but I hope that I have very few eternal enemies. If one is tuned in enough to how people are, then one will figure it out. just such a beautiful day out here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It is.
Climate out here is fabulous, I think. Jeff and I are soaked through and we're just standing around here and it's like...
That's right.
Purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I'm once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. Oh, but that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song beside a garden wall. When stars are bright, you are in my heart. Nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses rue, though I dream in vain. In my heart it will remain, my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
I was born with the gene that causes retinoblastoma, which is cancer of the eyes. So both eyes were removed by the time that I was a year, and this gene has sort of lain dormant in my body for almost 39 years. And then last year, about 16, 17 months ago, I had an operation to remove a tumor out of my left thigh, and then... 4 or 5 months ago, I had another operation to remove another tumor out of my thigh, all of which are related to the disease. It just will sort of keep regenerating, and it's a genetic thing. There's not much that one can do. I've been told that if you, you know, were to live on a diet of, you know, healthy stuff and nuts and berries and so forth, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I have two younger sisters who are twins. The three of us were all adopted. In the west end of Toronto, actually, in what was the city of Etobicoke. We have no history of any performers in the family at all. However, there's certainly a strong appreciation for music throughout the people in the family, and so there's a difference. You know, there's one thing to have a talent for music and an appreciation and so forth, but they had no idea and no yardstick with which to measure how one should proceed as a performer, as a professional musician, or anybody in the music industry at all. I can read Braille music, but I haven't used it in, what am I now, 40? 22 years. God, how did I learn? I learned from constant listening and being somewhat intelligent enough to comprehend what I was hearing. Probably in shapes and sizes and sounds. My daughter is big into animals and wants to be a vet, and so she has that interest, the care of animals, and dogs and cats and horses. And my daughter Rachel is 11, yes. And my boy Derek is a year and a half, and he is seems to be a lot like I was from reports of my family at that age. Very interested in music, very keenly aware of everything around him. Probably has far more of a personality than I had. He really has a unique personality. I don't know exactly how to describe it without sounding a little biased. He's the type of child that everybody is attracted to, and he's not a show-off, and he's not, you know, a hot dog, and he's not... He likes people. He enjoys people's company. He is just very intently focused on everything that's around him. So many kids that you see generally are focused on what they're doing only, and as a result, if anything isn't happening for them, then they'll scream and yell and cry, even if they're out in the middle of all sorts of people who are going to be annoyed by yelling and crying. And Derek is just fascinated to watch what's happening. And his sister was a lot like that, but she is very content to be on the sidelines watching. She doesn't wish to be in the middle of all the sociability and so forth. It has given me a chance to observe myself growing up. That might be rather overconfident, if not arrogant, to say, but I like to think that there seems to be enough of dominant genes from myself, I suppose, that my kids have very, very obvious similarities to their father and are very close to their father because of that. Certainly, you know, I know 100% with my daughter there is a bond that's there, even though since she was two, she, you know, I've been out of the house. I've always seen her two or three times a week, and everything is very amicable with her mother and her mother's husband, and so everybody gets along well. And so there has always been a bond with her and myself, which doesn't have to be said, and it's just there. And she's, you know, she's always been very aware of who her father is, what her father thinks, you know, what he feels, and that's a, and not just as Jeff Healey that the public thinks of. In fact, that doesn't factor into her consciousness at all, really. It's about her and I as father and daughter.
Though I dream in vain in my heart, it will be made by stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
Dixie Flea Market in Mississauga. I went there initially to look for records, no surprise. I guess I was about 10. There was a guy there that was selling guitars amongst his many wares that he had. And so I started playing some of the guitars. He took a liking to what I did, and he had me sit around and demonstrate the guitars. And so I would just sit and play songs. I used to do a lot of more traditional country music and things like that, which I grew up on, and I know a lot of that. He got to have somebody demonstrate his guitars and what they sounded like, and the flea market paid me to work it with him. I worked there for a few months, 30, 40 bucks a week or something, I guess it was.
Mule kicking at my style, tight like that, I'm stern like that. I hear me talking to you, I mean it's tight like that.
Largest crowd, well, The largest crowd that I've been in front of is the concert in Toronto, raising money for they called it SARS-Stock, which is such a stupid name, but they raised money to get people back interested in Toronto. I played as part of Sass Jordan's band. That would be the largest that I was ever in front of. So I think they estimated around 500,000 people. With my own band, prior to that was 80,000 people at a festival in Holland, which they called Pink Pop, which was kind of strange. They have weird names for festivals throughout Europe, and that was one of them. That probably was the biggest. Festivals in Europe, you tend to play for an average about 20, 30,000 people, I guess. Isn't so much about sound as it's about just a feeling, and this evening in Victoria was a great audience. They're fantastic. We have had capacity crowds in theaters where they were more of a listening crowd, so they didn't really react as much, but they certainly, according to, you know, my guys, had smiles on their faces. There's been places where their attendance has been whatever, hasn't been promoted all that well, and it's been sort of a slightly smaller crowd or what have you, and they've been making more noise than several thousand people. So it can really depend. I suppose, are the only ones that really have a sense of who I am as a person aside from music, because it doesn't enter into, with my daughter and I, it doesn't really enter into our relationship. I'm her dad. I suppose that she looks for, you know, advice on things. She in turn, you know, is very smart and has advice for me. And to do with music.
Chris Barber and the Jazz Wizards. My name is Jeff Healy. Thank you very much.
Well, see, nobody's really asked that. I suppose a few family members. I mean, I can recall gatherings at my grandparents' place, my dad's parents, and they had the piano, and several relatives could play the piano, and one or two had accordions and guitars and things like that, and I suppose that I probably joined in on some of that. Gradually, I evolved, and things sort of ran their course. I ran across other musicians, some my age, and some much, much older than me when I was even 10 or 11, and I knew people that were in their 30s, 40s, or whatever, that played music.
From Natchez up to Greenville, on to the Tennessee line.
Life is full of individuals, and there are some individuals I've come to realize who just have a certain it that will enable them to do whatever it is they want to do. They have a certain special quality. It's not just talent, although that has a lot to do with it. It's not just hard work, although that has a lot to do with it. I know some people who are hard-working, talented people who just don't quite have that certain something that, you know, breaks them through to the public. And then I know a few people who are natural-born entertainers who don't have to work at it, who are kind of lazy people, to be quite honest, and they just go up and do what they do. Now, I suppose, you know, I mean, the old trite things like believe in yourself and work hard and practice hard and all that kind of stuff, but God, there is no definitive answer. I suppose enjoy what you're doing. As I said, I think earlier on, if you can enjoy what you're doing, if you can make a comfortable enough living, and if people seem to equally enjoy what you do as much as you do, what more can you ask for? Does that answer it pretty much for you?
Thanks for talking with me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Jeff Healy with the guitar. Great group there. Yeah.
And Chris Barber. This is Jeff Healy, and you are in the middle of Living on Purpose with Lynn Thompson.
Save your sorrows.